It's The Blueprint, Canada's conservative podcast. I'm your host, Tony Clement. On today's show, we have Colin Carey and Bob Soroya, both MPs, talking about how ISIS fighters are like immigrants. That's according to Justin Trudeau. And then we're going to talk to Dan Albus, the MP for Central Okanagan, about the Trans Mountain Pipeline. Stay tuned.
You're listening to The Blueprint, Canada's conservative podcast.
Is the Prime Minister actually saying that taxpayers should be on the hook when he breaks the law?
What is it going to take for the Prime Minister to have any respect for any laws in this country that may curb his out-of-control behavior?
All these deficits leading to nothing but burying Canadians in taxes.
Now, here's your host, Tony Clement.
Welcome to The Blueprint, Canada's conservative podcast. I'm your host, Tony Clement, Member of Parliament. We've got a great show for you today, and I've got two amazing guests with me. First, I've got Colin Carey, the MP for Oshawa, and Mr. Bob Soroya, the MP for Markham Unionville. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Glad to be here, Tony.
We're going to be talking a little bit about, as our first topic, these series of town halls that Mr. Trudeau, as Prime Minister, did throughout the country, that one in particular that hasn't had as much insight into it, or people have not commented as much on the surface, but underneath the surface has really turned a lot of heads. On February 2nd, during a town hall at McEwen University in Edmonton, the Prime Minister was talking, was asked a question about returning ISIS fighters and made a very strange comparison between returning ISIS fighters and other groups in our society. So I'm going to give it to Colin first, and then Bob, maybe you can comment a little bit. Tell us a little bit about what happened and what the reaction has been.
Well, I think the reaction is shock when people heard the Prime Minister try to equate, Italian refugees, Portuguese, Ismailis coming to Canada with returning ISIS supporters and terrorists. These individuals from ISIS, they're not fleeing persecution. They are the persecutors. So to think that the Prime Minister is out there promoting rehabilitation of these individuals, we know as a Conservative government, we gave them the tools in order to prosecute these individuals, and instead he wants to put Canadian taxpayers' dollars into reintegration with these podcasts and poetry. It's outrageous.
Because that was the context of the question. It was, hey, we've got these returning ISIS fighters. Most countries are arresting them when they return.
Yes.
And yet Canada has this kind of pie in the sky, hippy dippy approach where they're going to say, oh, if you see a few podcasts or read some poetry, maybe that'll be part of your treatment, as it were.
Oh, yeah, and it's almost as if the Prime Minister thinks that ISIS is a unique culture. Now, unless you support the culture of genocide, these people are maniacal perpetrators of the most offensive acts. They've raped and murdered women in front of their children. They've thrown homosexuals off buildings. Ismailis, they've butchered them, or any pious Muslim who wants to practice their religion, anything different than ISIS. And these are the people that the Prime Minister is equating with refugees and immigrants who came to this country to build it. And it's just shocking. It would be laughable if it wasn't so outrageous.
Greek community, Portuguese. He specifically mentioned Greek, Portuguese, Vietnamese, Italian communities. Those were the ones he was equating with returning ISIS fighters.
Absolutely. Just watch the video.
Bob Soroya, you've probably heard some feedback on this. So what are people saying about this comparison of the Prime Minister?
First of all, thank you, Tony. It was a simple question from a father when he talked about the safety of his kids, especially for his girls, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years down the road. It was a simple question from the man's heart, from the person's heart. And Mr. Trudeau didn't have the answer, as always, didn't have the talking points. He went to the left when he started talking.
Yeah, this was off the top of his head. This is the thing. This is when you hear the real Justin Trudeau.
Tony, we all know when he doesn't have the talking point, this is what he does. This is what he's best with. So he started talking with the Greeks, Italians, Portuguese. When they came back from the Second World War, they were mistreated. This is not the question. The question was simply when those people are coming back from Syria, Iraq, or wherever they're coming from, those are the bad people. It's a genuine concern from the father. It's a lot of people in my writing ask on the daily basis, why are we paying them? How do we integrate, I think is the word he's using, mm-hmm. How do we teach them? They're the murderers. They're the rapists. Assyrians, all the minorities in the Middle East, they're mistreated. They're murdered.
He tried to wipe them all out, didn't he?
He wanted to wipe them all out. So the question was simple. Mr. Trudeau didn't have the answer, so he went to this side. What a answer. What a answer. I think he also talked about he was... A bouncer in the bar? What the heck bouncer have to do in this equation?
Yeah, no, he always likes to talk about aspects of his past, even if it's completely irrelevant. But, you probably heard these numbers as well, but the numbers are quite striking that the government is aware, the federal government is aware of approximately 180 individuals with a nexus to Canada who were abroad and who were suspected of engaging in terrorism-related activities, and a further 60 extremist travelers who have returned to Canada. So this is not a theoretical question. This is a question that Canadians, you mentioned Bob Soroya, people in your riding, Canadians are wondering, how are we going to be protected? What's the stance of the government, Bob?
Tony, few years back, I bumped into somebody from the Iranian background. He mentioned something to that I could never think like this. He said there was 17 people in 911. They brought America to their knees, if we can use that word, or they were hurt. They
in
were
9/11, right. Yeah,
about 17 people.
Yeah.
If you have 120 of those people, God, people have to be concerned. People have to be scared. It's not scaremongering. This is the reality. If it's 100 people, 150 people, 180 people, what will they do when they get the signal from wherever they're getting the signal, either from Afghanistan or wherever they get the signal? It is a scary moment in my mind, and it's a scary stuff. What I hear from the road, from my constituency, and many, many others.
Yeah. Colin, any further response that you've heard from people, any reaction that you've heard?
Oh, absolutely, and I agree 100% with Bob. I think people realize these are Canadians that left our country, that agreed to take up arms against Canadians and our allies, that participated in these atrocities. And now, for some reason, Justin Trudeau thinks a Canadian. They're going to let these people back here. To think that you can reintegrate these people is incredibly naive. It's putting our communities at risk. And I got to tell you, Tony, this past weekend, I was at the Italian Club in Oshawa. And I won't repeat some of the things that were said, but they're aware of these comparisons. I had an elderly guy come up to me and said, I came here legally. I came here because I wanted to be a better country and contribute to Canada. And he has. They've been the builders of this country. And to
literally
equate,
the builders. A lot
literally,
of construction
and in my community more than many others. And to equate the contributions of these communities, these cultures that came to Canada, and kind of compare the culture of ISIS to be equivalent in any way whatsoever is so offensive. He should be apologizing, and he should be taking Canadian resources to help support the victims of ISIS, like the Yazidis, and not be giving it to rehabilitate people that are unrehabilitatable. These are people, I got to tell you, they went overseas to fight against us, and now that they've lost, they want to come back to be safe. They want our health care, they want our education, and they want it all for free so they can be safe here to continue to build on their insane ideology.
Let me read. I want to put on the record the actual quote from Justin Trudeau. So first of all, the man in the audience said to Mr. Trudeau, and this is a quote, "I just want to know how your stance on ISIS is going to help Canadians in any way. I need to know how you're going to protect future Canadians like my young daughter. And, you know, 10, 15, 20 years from now, when you're letting people in with an ideology that just does not conform to what we're doing here." Mr. Trudeau replied, "Absolutely. No. I think that's gives me an opportunity to talk about, first of all, the fact that one of the reasons Canada is successful as a country is because we have been open to people fleeing persecution, fleeing war zones, looking for a better life for themselves and their kids. That's been the story about how this country, from the time the first European settlers came, to be received by indigenous peoples." And then he goes into the Vietnamese boat people, the Greek communities, the Portuguese, the Italian community, and so on. So he, this is the point, he conflated, he confused ISIS, where they, and the question was about how we are going to be safe from ISIS returnees, to people fleeing persecution.
But Tony, this is how he thinks. Every time he gets off script, just like Bob was saying, this is the same guy that said he admires the basic dictatorship of China. This is the same guy that said he admires Fidel Castro as a great leader. Somebody
El Comandante,
who,
is he?
Oh my gosh, somebody who killed literally thousands and thousands of his own people. This is the guy that says we have to rethink things like space and time. This is how the individual thanks. And for the leader of our country to give a glimpse into his mind, I think it's all of us very important that we pay attention to this, the way he thinks, at our own peril.
I'm going to give Bob Soraya the last word here.
Tony, I was born in India and I lived most of my life here. I understand these people, they have a mindset. We are the non-believers. It doesn't matter what do we do to make them get better. What formula, Mr. Trudeau, will use to get them better? What formula does he have in his sleeves so he can give them some tablet or whatever the thing he can give them? They said they're cured. This is an impossible task. It hasn't worked throughout the world. It would not work in this country. And it is a scary moment, what I hear from a writing.
Well, gentlemen, thank both of you. I want to thank Colin Carey, the MP for Oshawa, and Bob Soraya, the MP for Markham Unionville. I don't know what Justin Trudeau thinks about space and time, but I do know that our space and time is limited. So thanks for coming on the program. It's great to have you.
Thanks, Tony.
Thank you, Tony.
You're listening to The Blueprint, Canada's conservative podcast. Browse all of our episodes at podcast.conservative.ca. And now, back to The Blueprint. And your host, Tony Clement.
Welcome to The Blueprint, Canada's conservative podcast. I'm your host, Member of Parliament Tony Clement. And it's great to have you as part of our podcast universe. We're going to talk about pipelines right now, specifically Trans Mountain pipelines, although the Prime Minister was confused in the House of Commons today. He's answering questions about Keystone XL for some reason. But we're talking about Trans Mountain and how important it is. And our special guest for this segment of the program is Mr. Dan Albus, the Member of Parliament for Central Okanagan, Similkameen Nicola. Thank you for being on the show, Dan. And why don't you bring us up to date a little bit on what's going on with this Trans Mountain pipeline issue?
Well, it really comes down to nature abhors a vacuum. So when you have a prime minister that is not giving, whether it be the premier of Alberta, confidence that he will stand up to the jurisdictional interference by Premier John Horgan, who hails from British Columbia, the challenge is...
And you're a British Columbian yourself.
This is what happens. This is why elections are so important, because you get these big swings, and it's lost by a few votes here and there. But getting back to it, the Prime Minister has created a vacuum of leadership. Premier Notley obviously wants to win her next election. She knows Alberta's fortunes, her political fortunes, are tied to the building of Kinder Morgan Trans Mountain, which goes through my riding, and I'm very happy to support. But she is obviously, slinging at British Columbia by banning BC wine. And that's the problem here. And that's why last night we actually voted on a motion that the Prime Minister needs to present a plan.
And this was a Conservative Party motion in the House.
Yes, Shannon Stubbs sponsored it, great member from Alberta. I was glad to support it because I have vintners in my area that, you know, if action isn't taken immediately, it's going to cause some of them to go bankrupt. The larger wineries, I'm sure, are going to be fine. They can find other channels. But, you know, this is a business where, you know, if you can't deliver a product, restaurants are going to switch to a different wine. And, you know, they have some have contractual obligations that they got to get their product to Alberta and they can't get it. And so that's why this is so serious. And that's why last night we asked the Prime Minister to show a plan to get Kinder Morgan started, and Liberals voted against it. So this is something, Tony, that's it's in our national interest. The Prime Minister at least has said that. But now it's becoming the question about the rule of law as well. Are we going to allow premiers to basically push into the federal jurisdiction, or will the Prime Minister assert that this project will actually get done and not just talk about it?
So let's unpack this a little bit, because the Liberals are out there saying, the federal Liberals are saying, hey, look, we're for Trans Mountain Pipeline. We gave it the go-ahead. But really, in essence, nothing is happening. There's no federal leadership on the file, and you got two provinces duking it out with different visions of what to do with this pipeline. And so, really, it's not really a priority of the Liberal government, except to talk about it a lot.
Well, you know, if you look at Energy East, you know, you had Liberal members of Parliament saying to their own constituents during the last election and up until the point that the project was cancelled, that they were fully in support. But I will tell you this, is that there are many British Columbia MPs who do not want the Prime Minister to mention the name Kinder Morgan or Trans Mountain in their ridings. But this is one of those things that the Prime Minister has said it's in the national interest. Well, he needs to go to places like Burnaby and convince the people in Burnaby that this is in the national interest and that it is illegal for any other government to subsume and take away from the federal jurisdiction on this.
Because this lack of leadership, and you alluded to this, it's creating a situation. It's not only, obviously, it's affecting oil and gas and the future of oil and gas investment in this country, but now it's a trade war. So the wineries, the vintners in British Columbia are dragged into this too. This is not getting any better. It's getting worse for
the
economy.
No, and again, yesterday there was a throne speech in British Columbia, and the New Democrats, supported by the Greens, have said that they're going to continue in the throne speech. They said they're going to continue to raise consultations on what kind of oil products can go through British Columbia. And again, that's why we're calling the Prime Minister to clearly come out. And let's put it this way. Businesses, they want two things. They want opportunity, but they also need certainty. And a big part of certainty means they know that when they make an investment, that they're going to be able to see that investment go through. They have to have faith that the regulators and the governments that regulate the regulators, so to speak, are going to do what they say and aren't just going to leave them hanging in the wind. That's what Justin Trudeau is doing right now. That's why Premier Notley's created this wine ban. That's why, you know, BC wineries right now, small businesses are hurting. And just another note is that when you look at it, there's a lot of investment from the oil sands, from people who've done well there, who have come to British Columbia and invested in our wineries. So they're only hurting
That's
themselves.
Very interesting. Yeah. So I'm talking with Dan Albus, by the way, British Columbia MP, talking a little bit about the issue about the Trans Mountain Pipeline, which has grown bigger because of the lack of leadership from Mr. Trudeau and the federal Liberals. So, I mean, where do you see this going? I mean, without federal Liberal leadership, I mean, we've been out there as the Conservative Party of Canada saying, look, we need to solve this issue. This is in the national interest that it proceed. It's that the science is there, the economic requirement of how this is going to help Alberta and British Columbia and Ontario. Even as an Ontarian, I know that there's Ontario companies that will get some positive benefits in terms of jobs and opportunity because of the pipeline. So where does this go from here without Liberal federal leadership?
Well, again, I go back to the argument, if people don't feel that you're going to follow up and with your language with actual walk, then eventually they'll just lose confidence and they just won't build.
And it's not just about this pipeline, it's about future national initiatives.
Absolutely. Again, if the Prime Minister cannot show, and again, there's different tools at his disposal. Again, he could go to court seeking an injunction, or he could use the not very much used trade and commerce clause in the Constitution. But ultimately, you can have tools, but if people don't even think you will use them, that the will be there, then they'll find some other place to invest.
And that is the problem, because we lose jobs, we lose opportunity, governments lose tax revenue. It's bad.
And we'll still see that Alberta oil being trucked through other means, whether it be on trucks or whether it be on rail cars, which is far less safe. And I think if you talk to most British Columbia and gave them the option, they'd want a newer pipeline with better protections assured with that, rather than the status quo. And I think that's what we need to consider. Many many mayors, like the mayor of Merritt, Mayor Menard, has said that this is in the national interest. It's good for jobs. It's good for the community of Merritt. They're supportive of it. They want to see this project go forward. So, you know, this is not just, you know, where, you know, those Liberal and New Democrats MPs are nowhere to be seen. That's why I'm very proud that Andrew Scheer, our Conservative leader, has stood up to the Prime Minister on this. I'm happy that Shannon Stubbs, Mark Strahl, both from Alberta and BC, are voicing concerns for jobs on both sides. This is one of those things that we need to keep pushing on.
Dan Albus, thanks for joining us here. It's great to have you as part of the National Caucus. And let's hope that we get some sanity when it comes to natural resource development policy in this country, rather than what is at risk, not only the economy, but really national. We're going to have national unity fights again. Not a good place for Canada to be. So let's hope for the best. Thank you for joining us, all you listeners out there, for the Blueprint, Canada's Conservative Podcast.
Thank you for listening to the Blueprint, Canada's Conservative Podcast. To find more episodes, interviews, and in-depth discussions of politics in Canada, search for The Blueprint on iTunes or visit podcast.conservative.ca.